gosh, it looks so good.
Pivot.
I'm sorry, you don't have your sheep.
Pivot.
You kind of went insane due to the syphilis.
Welcome to Pivot,
a Friends podcast with Whitney and Brianna.
Whoopah! Pivot.
Whoopah!
Pivot.
Pivot, Whitney.
Pivot, Brianna.
What are you sipping on?
This is a leftover Bud Light Seltzer Retro Tie-Dye. The flavor is Twisted Berry. And I got these for the 4th of July.
Oh, nice.
Yes.
Independence Day leftovers.
Little Independence Day over, exactly.
We have a couple of leftovers as well. And so I'm sipping on one of those. A White Claw hard seltzer. Somebody made fun of me for the hard seltzer the other day. We shall remain.
Oh.
It's okay. He didn't listen to the show. I like it.
Yeah. Well, I haven't actually tried the White Claw, but yeah, not. I'm kind of on a hard seltzer kick between the Bud Light seltzers and that last one I had was Topo Chico, the margarita ones.
The Topo Chico, I like those too, but apparently I can't have too much of them. They're too bubbly in my tummy.
Ah.
And it was a tough choice today because I also had a Corona in there and a Hopadillo.
Oh.
Yeah, exactly. So I was
choices.
Like, you know, yeah, I was like, you know what? It's a school day, meaning I got to go to work in the morning. I was like, I'll just take the lighter one, the White Claw.
Yes.
And if I can have a second one, it's still okay. But anyway, let's get to our episode. This is the season finale of season 2.
Mm-hmm.
Episode number 24. Most of the seasons on Friends have 24 episodes. I know the very last one doesn't. It only goes up to like 17 or 18. And I read something actually recently. It's due to Jennifer Aniston wanting to or needing to be available to film movies.
Mm.
So that's why they didn't do 24. But if you recall, season 1 also had 24 episodes. I'm like, that's a lot of shows in a season, which I appreciate.
Yeah, especially for first season.
Yeah, exactly. So here we go. Trivia questions for season 2, episode 24, the season finale, the one with Barry and Mindy's wedding. Question number 1. What does Chandler say when he sees Rachel in her pink bridesmaid's dress just before she and Ross leave for the wedding? Chandler makes a few comments, but what does he say right before they leave for the wedding? Question number 2, what's the bad news that Chandler gets about his internet girlfriend before he meets her? What's the bad news? And then question number 3 is a spoiler. Shouldn't be a spoiler at this point. Monica and Richard break up at Barry and Mindy's wedding. Why? Dun, dun, dun. All right, let's get to it. It's the cold open. Everybody's at Central Perk, and Joey's telling everyone that he has to kiss a guy as part of his audition. And it's Warren Beatty.
Warren Beatty is the director, yes.
He's the director, right? Warren Beatty's the director?
Warren Beatty's the director. He said, it was really funny how he said it. He says, he got to meet the director today. Guess who it is? I'll give you one hint. And he doesn't give a hint. He says, I'll give you one hint. Warren Beatty. And that was it.
He just says, Dick Tracy.
Yeah. So that's it. He gets to do a movie, or I guess, for a movie, directed by Warren Beatty. And he said there's only one problem. Like he plays this guy who another guy kisses, and when that I forgot. Yeah, Ross says, "Well, you're an actor." I say, "Just suck it up and do it." And kind of looks at him, and he goes, "Or just do it." But anyways, so Joey explains to him, "No, I'm a professional. Like, yeah, I kissed him, but problem is, Mr. Beatty came up to me afterwards and said, 'Good acting, bad kisser.'" And he said, like, imagine me, a bad kisser. That's like calling Mother Teresa a bad mother.
Yeah. Not a good mother.
Not Mother a good Teresa, mother.
Not a good mother. Yeah. Joey. So yeah, he is appalled. He cannot believe that he was told that he was a bad kisser. So he asked for a volunteer. He calls up the ladies. Like, one of you come up here. And they're all like, no.
Phoebe says, "I've kissed him before. I can do it again."
So, right. And I'm like, did we see this somewhere?
Yeah, I remember whenever it was season one, whenever she was playing Ursula and they kissed.
Oh, that's right.
She was impersonating Ursula.
Ursula.
So it wasn't like, Lisa Kudrow as Ursula. It was Phoebe pretending to be Ursula.
Right, because Ursula just wasn't going to call Joey back. She was
going to kill him. Yeah.
So Phoebe decided to break up with him properly so that he would know this is over between you and Ursula. But it was really Phoebe, right. Guys.
It was really Phoebe. So that's okay. It. I kissed him before. I can do it again.
Yes.
So she does. She steps up and she... they're getting ready to lean in to kiss, and she goes, "Oh, gum." And so she takes her gum out, but then they kissed, and it was like a pretty intense kiss.
Yeah, it lasted longer than one would expect.
Yeah.
Okay.
It looked like they kind of got into it, and then it's like all of a sudden it's like they break, and then Joey's looking at her like, "Huh? Like, was that okay?
What are the results? What did it say?"
Yeah. So that's what I thought was kind of funny with that is like after they get done kissing, because they kind of get into it a bit.
That's really
interesting. And then it was just like they just break. It was like, okay, so what do you think? And anyways, she was like, she described his kissing. She said, yeah, it was good. Soft or firm, but tender. I'd recommend him to a friend.
Yep.
And yeah, so he's still like just so perplexed, like why is he being called a bad kisser? And then Monica points out the fact, well, maybe you're just not used to kissing guys and you may have tensed up. You weren't maybe as relaxed
as being with
are whenever you're with a woman. Mm-hmm. So that made sense to him. And so he looks at Chandler and Ross as a
looking for volunteers silently, kind of like,
he's gonna step up. Ross says, "Over my dead body," and Chandler says, "And I'll be using his dead body as a shield." Yeah, the boys, they're not into that.
Oh, it's too funny. Mm-hmm. I thought that was funny, but this is pretty much how it goes. Throughout the rest of the show, Joey, like here and there, is saying stuff like, "Oh, hey." Chandler at one point gets like really bummed out about what we're going to talk about later. And then Joey's all like, "Oh, that must be really hard for you." Like all sensitive. And he like touches Chandler's arm and kind of rubs it a little bit. And then Chandler... because Joey's been trying to convince these guys to help practice with him. He's just like, "Get away," or, "Oh no," he goes, "Get away, I said no." And
yeah, well, that happened. But before that, it was like, he's at his computer and Joey's just begging him, "Please just help me," whatever. And he's like, no means no.
Yes, no means no. And
no means no.
And around that time, he hears that Richard is there and Richard is leaving because he was visiting with Monica. And it's just, I think it's Joey and Chandler and maybe Phoebe.
Because Ross and Rachel come in and he commented on wedding. Rachel's outfit. And then he looks at Ross and he's like, "And you, I could eat with a spoon." Right. And he makes his move towards Ross and Ross stops him.
That's when he says, "Get away." I said, "No."
Yeah.
I think that's who says it. But he hears it. What's his name? Richard is there and that they're going to leave too. And he's like, "Oh, Richard's here? I better go say goodbye."
He runs out the door. I thought that was hilarious.
I know. He comes back because it makes it sound like they've already gone downstairs and they're like leaving the apartment building. He's like, "Oh, yeah. Richard's here." He's like, "I better go say bye." And he takes off. He comes back later and, you know, I think they thought like, "Well, or what happened?" And he's like, "I got close, and then Monica need me in the back."
Yeah, he was like, "I got this close and Monica needs me in the back." Oh my gosh.
Unsuspecting Richard.
I know. That's what I thought was hilarious. Like, oh my gosh. He's just gonna be going running down there. And then what was his plan? He was just gonna grab Richard and kiss him.
Probably say bye, like he was trying to say bye to Ross. "And you look so great. You're so handsome. And you, I could eat with a spoon," and just go for it. It's funny. We don't see any of this stuff, but it's so funny because you get to picture it just like, yeah, like what was his plan when he got down there? You know,
I just like how he
he's so funny with his line delivery.
I know. I just love how he was like, "Oh, Richard's here." Yeah. He's like pushing past everyone to get to the door. "Oh, I better go say bye."
Yes. All in a hurry. And like you said, pushing people out of the way. So, I mean, like I said, those are instances throughout the episode. And then we get pretty much to the very end of the episode.
Yeah, I think it's the little blurb at the end is this storyline and Ross busts into Chandler and Joey's apartment and Joey's sitting in one of the chairs and says, and Ross tells him, you know,
he's like, "I feel bad.
I want to be a good friend."
Yeah, something like that. Like he feels like he hasn't been a good friend, or he wants to be a good friend. And he's like, "Damn it, I am a good friend."
And so he just basically says, "I've been kind of eat me up, whatever." And so, anyways, he goes for it. He takes Joey by both sides of the face and plants one on him. Mm-hmm. And Joey was like, "Wow, thanks, Ross. Like, you are a good friend. But, you know, my audition was this morning and I didn't get it."
Right.
and Ross's face. Yeah. Oh my gosh. But that was hilarious. That he plants a big one on Joey. Joey's very appreciative, but yeah, well, it's too little too late.
I just thought it was hilarious the way he said, "Of course, the audition was this morning and I didn't get it."
I love that line too. I thought it was hilarious.
Oh gosh. And yeah.
"Wow, thanks, Ross. You are a good friend."
And he does say, "Rachel is a lucky girl."
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Rachel's a lucky girl.
Well, that's Joey.
Yep. And then we have the titular storyline. I still don't know if I'm saying that word right. And then I can't bring myself to say it seriously because then I think I'll mess it up. So anyway, titular storyline. Barry and Mindy's wedding. That ain't the same Mindy we met.
No.
Not at all. No. Tell us, Whitney. Tell us.
The first Mindy that we met, this was in season one, right? When we met Mindy.
Yes.
Yeah, that was Jennifer Grey.
Baby from
Dirty Dancing. Ferris Bueller's sister from Ferris Bueller's Day Off. But this is the new Mindy Gray with a nose job. Mm-hmm. So anyways, this is a different actress who is playing Mindy this time around. I'm not familiar with this woman, but
oh, yeah. I think she's just a regular flying dwarf actress. That's what we say, Victor and I, when it's not like all glitzy or over the top or fancy or special. If it's just average, it's just, we say it's flying dwarf.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, I think our first little bit of Mindy and Barry's wedding, well, we're at the apartment. Ross is in the doorway of Rachel's room and he's trying to tell her to come out. He's like, no, you look great. You look so good, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And then he turns to the group and he's like, tell her she looks good. Tell her she looks good.
Yeah.
And anyway, so she comes out. Oh, at this point, it's Ross, Phoebe, Monica, and Richard. And so she comes out into the living room and Phoebe starts laughing. She comes out, she's wearing her bridesmaid's dress. And it is like this big pink wad of bubblegum, basically.
It is the most ridiculous thing you've ever seen.
Yes. I was like, okay, so she's the maid of honor, but she is also the ex of
the groom.
Is Mindy trying to make her look as ridiculous as possible? But I'm going to say the answer is probably no, considering the dress that Mindy picked out for herself. Yeah, so she comes out and she's like this big pink frilly cupcake. And Phoebe starts laughing. She's like, ha, 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 ha. And then she goes, oh, she looks so good.
Yes. Like, her face, the biggest smile. Like you said, she was cracking up and just goes into, you look so good.
You look so good. Oh, yeah, it's she looks ridiculous. Well, that's she knows it because she says, like, she's like going on about how she can't believe she's going to this wedding. And it's like, on top of that, she's, you know, dressed like something you drink when you are nauseous.
Yep. She also has a matching, oh wait, she's not wearing it right now.
Uh-uh.
She's gonna have a matching hat, big giant poofy sleeves, big sparkly jewel stone, looks like She-Ra would wear it or something in the middle of her chest. And it's all Pepto-Bismol pink.
It is.
It's all Pepto-Bismol pink.
It's like bubblegum pink.
Yeah.
It is something to behold for sure.
It is something to behold.
Yeah. Ross is saying, well, you know, then why are we going to this thing? Like, you don't have to go to this thing. And she's telling him, yes, we do. You know, I'm the maid of honor. You know, it's time that she, you know, was able to be in a room with those people again.
That's what she said.
I mean, it was probably her world for such a long time.
Yep. I guess just having the courage to face them after the fallout with Barry.
Yeah. So Ross and Rachel come in to the guy's apartment. And it's like Phoebe and Joey and Chandler, I believe. And, you know, this is when Joey tries to kiss Ross. He's not having it. Where he says, I better go tell Richard bye. But this is also, I believe, an answer to a trivia question. Because when Phoebe comes in, Chandler tells her, well, he tells her a couple different things. Like basically whenever she walks in, he immediately tells her, I'm sorry, you don't have your sheep.
Yes. I just think it's the funniest thing in the whole world when he says it. Because he's on his little tiny computer, his tiny little laptop. It's all thick and a tiny screen. And he's all, I'm sorry, we don't have your sheep.
He says it just with such a straight face too.
Yes, that's why it's so funny to me. I love that type of sense of humor.
Yeah.
I love that. So that's it for them. And then they're off for the wedding. We see them at the wedding. They're getting ready to line up. The wedding coordinator's there. And she's like, okay, everybody, you know, we'll line up here. We see all these other bridesmaids in the same terrible dress. And they all line up. And Ross is, you know, telling Rachel she's going to be great. But some people, no, I'm wrong. The elderly couple and stuff, they talked to her afterwards?
It was after.
Or right wedding, before?
Yeah. After.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, because, you know, she comes out of the bathroom and she said that she just saw the window that she crawled out of at her own wedding. And she's like, what am I doing here? Like, this is crazy. And Ross said, like, Ross is trying to, you know, comfort her, telling her, you know, nobody's even going to be paying attention to you. They're going to be paying attention to the couple and whatever, blah, 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 blah. And she's like, oh, no, you're right. You're right. You know, so anyways, yeah, that's wedding coordinator. Look at me, you know, line up here. So anyways, that's what Ross goes to take his seat. Rachel starts moving towards the wedding party. And then we see the back of her dress is like tucked up. Like, it's
into her underwear
somehow. Yes, yeah, that's what. Okay, it's, she clearly missed a spot of trying, like, pulling her dress back down after using the restroom, because it is, you can see like the backs of her legs, you can see her butt. Like, yeah, she's going to walk down the aisle like that. So that immediately comes back to them afterwards, and she is like, why didn't you tell me? And yeah. Ross is like, well, what did you want me to do? Stand up and yell, hey, Rachel, your butt's hanging out. So that's when the elderly couple comes up to her.
Okay.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, it's so great to see you, dear. And I didn't expect to see so much of you. And they get in a little argument because his wife is all like, you said you didn't see anything. And he's all, I tell you a lot of things.
Yeah, I tell you a lot of things.
But the thing was, is that they end it with it, like, it's good to see you up and about, and it's good, and stay well, something like that, you know, like,
right,
stay well, dear. And she tells Ross, that's like the fourth time somebody says that.
Yeah, third time. Third time. Like the third time somebody said something like that to me.
Yeah. She asks Barry and Mindy, who come out, she's like, why do people say it's good to see me out and about or up and around? They tell her, well, when you ran out on Barry, his parents told everybody that you kind of went insane due to the syphilis.
I love the look on her face.
Yes.
She's like, what?
Oh, man. Yeah.
Yeah, the look on her face was hilarious. And then Barry, this is like how, like, oh God, he's just such an arrogant little, because like, he's seriously like, you know, what are they going to say, that you just fell out of love, like you're not in love with me or whatever?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, the audacity.
Yes.
Anyways, not a fan of him. But this whole thing, this is like what I was thinking. I was like, oh my goodness, like, is she just trying to make Rachel look hideous in her dress? No, her wedding dress is so ugly, and like, Rachel's wearing the exact same dress as all the other bridesmaids.
Yeah.
So it's like, and then even Barry's tuxedo is awful.
Oh yeah. Mm.
He's wearing a top hat. I mean, like, he looks ridiculous.
Like, what are we doing here? What are you exactly doing here, Gert?
It's like the tackiest wedding in the history of weddings.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's bad. So
here we are. And Rachel's sitting at that table with everybody. She's already embarrassed herself because everybody saw her butt sticking out. She already found out that almost everybody there probably thinks that she went insane and has syphilis.
Yeah, due to the syphilis.
Yeah. And so they get up and they start doing speeches. The best man, Barry had already made jokes about Rachel being there and her running out on their wedding. So here we are now with the best man. And he's like, hey, I remember when Barry came back from his first date with Rachel, and everybody looks at him like, oh, dude, that's the wrong name. And he's all, what? They can hire the same band, but I can't use the same speech. And so he's making a joke. So it's just all these jokes about Rachel, and Rachel's like, you know what? I'm out of here. Mm-hmm. And she tells Ross, let's go. And she leaves, goes to leave. And I think like I might be missing a little piece in here. Is this before Ross's speech?
No, because Best Man finishes his speech, and then Ross clinks his glass and he says, I want to add a little more. So basically he tells the room that, you know, Rachel does not have syphilis.
Mm-hmm.
She simply just does not love or did not love Barry. And then he made a joke with like, which incidentally worked out for me. Yeah. And yeah, he's expecting the from the drummer, but the drummer's like, he just kind of shrugs. Like, I don't know, man.
He did the ba-dum bum after he goes, and not because she had syphilis.
Yeah.
Ba-dum bum. And he was like,
he goes, what are you doing, man? I'm serious.
Yeah, it wasn't a joke. So Ross makes that speech. Rachel is even more mortified and she's like, meet me in the parking lot. And she takes off. Barry stands up and he just tells the whole room, okay, and she's out of there. She's out of here. Do you remember the exact time?
9:45. Who had 9:45?
Yeah. So insinuated, they all took bets on how long she would stay. Rachel decides she's going to go up on stage, take the microphone, and tells Barry she probably should leave, but she's not going to. She just wanted to make it through this evening with a little bit of grace and a little bit of dignity. And then she's all, well, I guess we can all agree that's not going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah. Before that, she said, I promised myself I'd make it through at least one of your weddings.
Ba-dum-bum.
Ba-dum. Yeah.
And it was pretty good. I was like, good one, Rachel.
Yeah.
She was ticked off. So.
Oh, yeah, because now we get to a point where she's getting ready to sing.
But
that came from because she felt like after her bottom was hanging out, she was like, oh, my God, this is like when the eighth grade when I got up in front of the school to sing Copacabana. And I like got two lines in and freaked out and ran away.
Yeah, she's saying that was like the only other worst thing. Mm-hmm. Was that?
Yeah. And Ross says, oh, I remember that. It wasn't that bad. She says, Ross, like, you got me. We're dating. You don't have to do that.
Yeah.
But anyway, so what she does next is she gets up and I think it's kind of like her little bit of redemption maybe from eighth grade is she's like, if I could stand up and tell Barry off in front of this group, I'm going to sing Copacabana. So that's what she does. She starts singing Copacabana and then the band starts playing and then she gets the whole room to sing along.
Yeah. And they all start singing with her. And at first I was like, what? Mm. Yep. She just starts singing that song. I'm like, okay, I guess. And she's like, everybody.
Yeah.
So then they all joined in. People start going dancing. Now, there are some guests there at this wedding. Mm-hmm. Monica and Richard. Tell us what happened with Monica and Richard leading up to the wedding. They had had this discussion. Stuff came up. Monica's like, we don't have to talk about this now. I mean, this is light years. I'm talking hovercrafts and aliens taking over the planet. But it comes back up at the wedding. So tell us, Whitney, what was the discussion?
Well, it starts at the girls' apartment. Right, Richard leaves, or Richard's about to leave the apartment. And, you know, he kisses Monica goodbye and he walks out. And Monica's like holding on to the back of a chair. And she's kind of got this dreamy look on her face and rubbing the back of a chair. And Phoebe notices her doing this like, my boyfriend is so dreamy. I wonder what our wedding will be like. And
they were talking about Barry and Mindy's wedding.
Yeah. And so she's like, no, you couldn't be, you know, you're so far off and we're not discussing that, blah, blah, blah. So anyways, Monica tries to play it off like, you know, oh, it's so great to be in a relationship that, you know, I'm not, you know, having to wonder or like, you know, I'm not obsessed with, you know, where is this going or whatever. And so Phoebe or Rachel asks, so are you afraid to ask him? And she's like, could not be more scared.
Yeah.
So, or could not be more terrified or something like that. So anyways, the next time we see Monica and Richard, she brings up their future. This is what they start discussing. She asks, do you think about the future? And he says, yeah, well, of course I do. And she asks, am I in it? And he says, honey, you are it. And so that makes her really happy. So mm-hmm. then she's like, well, what do you think about? He said, you know, selling my practice, maybe we can move to France, make French toast. And she's like, okay, so we're in France making the toast. Do you see a bassinet in the corner? And he says, like a hound? And she said, not a basset, a bassinet. And then he asks, do you really need the bassinet? And she goes, well, I just think the baby would keep falling off the dog.
Yeah.
So anyways, they kind of have this discussion, and he kind of is like, well, kids are not really so much in his future because he's already been there and done that.
Yeah,
like, you have to remember, he's a grandpa at this point.
Yep. They established that in earlier.
Like, oh, their first date.
Our grandpa. That's what it was.
Yeah.
And he says, we're so just like, hey.
He's a whole person who can drink older than her.
He's a whole generation older. And he tells her, hey, I love kids. I have kids. His kids, like you said, Whitney, his kids are grown. He's a grandfather. And so he's like, and I'm sure Richard was the best dad. Like he said, mm-hmm. I love him. He's like, but I don't want to be 70 years old when our kids go off to college and our, like him and Monica, our life can finally begin. And I'm like, well, you know, that's kind of sad because you have kids with this other person and that is your life.
Yeah.
It doesn't start after the kids leave. It's a different phase of life. It's a different stage. Mm-hmm. But also in Richard's defense, he already did all that. He's
been there, done that.
He already did that. He's looking forward to retiring.
Uh-huh.
You know, if he has more kids.
That's his next stage in life.
Exactly.
Like, that would be his natural progression is like, you know, he gets to sell the practice and just be a grandpa.
Yeah. And not have all the responsibility of going to work and mm-hmm. still, you know, caring for the children and being like, and Rich is a good man. So he's going to mm-hmm. be an active father.
Right.
And that's a lot of responsibility and, you know, and he's already been there, done that. He's mm-hmm. looking forward. He already has a little plan, selling the practice and moving to France.
Moving to France. Yeah.
That's plan. And now he's like, come with me, Monica. But Monica's so much younger. She doesn't want to have to skip. And she shouldn't have to skip on all that stuff that she wants. Mm-hmm. I mean, it seems like if they keep dating, that is going to be the choice. Like you,
that would be the deal breaker.
Okay with that. One of them is going to have to be okay with going along with what the other wants. Because you can't do both. So you got to pick mm-hmm. one way. And so one person is going to have to change what they expected out of the relationship. And they have to mm-hmm. be okay with that. So either you're okay with that or you're not.
Mm-hmm.
So either
that would be the deal breaker.
Yep. So either you're happily change your future plan / dream / maybe you're go with the flow, maybe not, or deal breaker, breakup.
Yep. So they had that discussion, you know, and Monica said, no, we don't have to talk about this now. Like,
yeah,
this
she tries to brush it off. She's like,
way in the future, right, like hovercrafts and, you know, apes taking over the planet. You know, so at the wedding, she's like, they're at this point, they might be just like,
they're sitting at
going into the reception or something. But she was telling them, she said, like kind of giving wedding trivia, basically. It's like, I just read that you were not supposed to throw rice at a wedding anymore because pigeons will eat it and it will kill them.
Yeah.
Or they will die or something. But so he's like, then he makes a joke like, oh, so that's why you don't see many pigeons at sushi restaurants. And she's like, ha ha ha. You know, he's like, yeah, see, we're not, or we can have fun or something. She's like, yeah, I'm totally not thinking about the thing we're not thinking about. So anyways, you can tell it's like they're trying to enjoy each other's company, but after that kind of discussion,
apparently they couldn't just brush it off.
Right, that's not something you can brush off.
It's turned into an elephant. Now
you're aware of each other's like expectations of the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she has thrown it out there that she wants the kid. He's thrown it out there that he's been there, done that. Doesn't necessarily want the kid in his future.
Yeah.
Like he doesn't want to have any more children.
Mm-hmm.
So they are trying to enjoy each other's company, but it's a little bit awkward.
Yeah.
But then talk about the table. I'm going to sit on the table.
So, you know, they try to have that discussion and stuff and they're like, oh, see, we're having fun. Yeah. We're not thinking about that thing. No. And, you know, they're looking around at the wedding and Monica sees these little girls dancing on the dance floor. And she's just looking at them just like with this yearning on her face. And then she just breaks and she's like, I can't do this. She's like, I have to have kids. She's like, I want kids. She lets them know she wants to have kids, which we've all known this about Monica. Mm-hmm. She wants to get married and have babies. And that's perfectly normal. It's perfectly fine. I'm not one that thought at a young age, but a lot of women do think that at a younger age.
What she told him right before she saw the girls dancing. It's like how you were saying before, it's like one of them is going to have to alter their expectation. They'll have to, you know, choose, do I want to stay in this relationship and give up the thing that I thought I wanted, whatever. Well, that's what she tells him. She goes, you know, I don't need the baby. I don't need the kids. You know, it's fine. I can do this. And then she kind of trails off as she sees the girls dancing. She's like, no, I need the kids. I have to have the kids.
Yep.
So that's her bottom line.
Mm-hmm.
It's like she can't stay in a relationship. Yeah. I mean, she's saying, this is what I'm expecting. This mm-hmm. is how I see my life going. This is what I want out of my relationship mm-hmm. or out of the relationship that I'm in. It needs to progress. So we get married and have children.
Yeah. It's what she wants for her life.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Richard, they're dancing and stuff. He's just kind of like, well, okay. Like, I get it. I understand. You know, while they are dancing, he tells her, okay, if kids, it's what it takes. And that's really what you want. You want that. You really want to have children. He's like, I don't want to lose you. I am willing to have kids with you. And she's like, really? And he's like, yeah. He's like, yeah, if I have to have kids again, I'll do that. He's like, I'll go to the PTA meetings. I'll coach the soccer team mm-hmm. if I have to. I'll do the
midnight meetings.
Yeah, the 4 a.m. meetings. Yeah. And if I have to. And he goes on and he's saying how he will be very involved. Mm-hmm. He will totally commit and do it. And then Monica's like, yeah, you know what? Like, she pretty much tells him, I want to have kids with someone who wants them as well. And if you didn't say, if I have to, I'm misquoting, but if you didn't say, if I have to, like 50 times.
Yes, yeah, so 17 times.
Yeah. Then I'd be saying, okay, let's do it. And he's like, but you're not. And she's like, no, obviously it's not. He doesn't want it as bad as she does. He's like, fine, if that'll make you happy, we'll do it. And she just feels like, you know what? I want somebody who's just as excited and looking forward to that as I am.
Again, it's your expectation for your future life.
Yeah. And I mean, and, here too.
And if he actually started getting excited about it and be like, you know what? Yeah, let's totally do it. Like we could do this again. But you know, he's like, he is saying this because he doesn't want to lose Monica.
Right. Like, and whatever makes you happy, mm-hmm. I'll do.
Basically, yeah.
But it kind of sounds like he's dragging
it. Kind of a noble thing, maybe, but I mean, I'm with her. It's like, don't say that just because you want to stay together and you know.
If he would have left all that out, like you said, Whitney, it would have been better. He might have even sounded more enthused. Yeah. But he kept saying, oh, if I have to, because he didn't just say, okay, let's have kids, that's fine with me. He was he's telling her how involved he's going to be. He's going to be a, he's going to be a good dad. He's going to be a kick-ass dad because that's the kind of man he is. But he's not in
the whether he's not going to be completely enthused, like so enthusiastic about
she
it.
Knows in the back of his mind he's just kind of like excited about this new plan.
Yeah, well, because he actually he breaks it down too, like the things that are involved in having the children.
Yeah,
you know, the 3 a.m. feedings, the PTA meetings, the you know, soccer, the sports and all that, you know, and he's like you said, he's going to be super involved. He's going to do everything and he's going to be great at it, but he's only doing it because he didn't want to lose Monica.
And I'm sure he'd be great and would totally be sincere once he was there in that situation with his child and his wife, Monica, but he's not enthused here at the discussion of the new plan. So, I mean, and I can't blame him too much. He was already looking forward to retiring.
He's talking about moving to France and making the French toast.
Yeah. Come on, Monica. No.
Yeah.
And that's fine. He's already got kids. He's not missing out on anything.
No.
He is a grandfather.
So again, he should be able to like look forward to retirement.
Yeah.
And Monica should be able to be in a relationship that her partner wants children with her.
Yeah, because Richard's got his kids. It's not like she's going to be stepmom and help raise them. They're grown.
I was going to say, she went to high school with the daughter, Michelle.
Yes. Yes. So Monica's going to miss out. She's going to miss out on all of that. And she shouldn't have to miss out unless she really loves Richard. And she's like, all right, that's fine with me if you don't want to, but these are life choices. There are no right and wrong in this situation. Their age difference really does them in. It could also be why they get along so well, but here you are, here's real life. He must decide even though he's totally made up, he must decide.
Yeah. Same little throwback there.
She must decide.
Yeah.
So Monica's all like, I can't believe I'm gonna say this. And that's when she breaks up with him for all the reasons we just said. And we already mentioned how she told him, if you didn't say, if I have to, 17 times. So
yeah,
she breaks up with her dreamy boyfriend and they're like, okay.
Yeah, it's sad, but it's totally relatable.
Yeah.
I mean, it's what right couples go through every day. And it doesn't necessarily mean like you have this big age difference, but I mean, whenever you start dating somebody, that's always a discussion you have to have, is like what you expect out of the relationship. Like, where do you want this relationship to go? And is that partner willing to take that trip with you?
Right. Life choices. So
it happens.
There's tons of examples out there. I'm sure you have your own, and you, our listener, even have your own. So I kind of really felt for Monica and Richard because two very nice people who like each other very much, but
this was, I think, our first look at Monica and her relationship, like a serious relationship in the show.
Yeah.
And she and Richard were even with the age difference, I think they were very compatible.
Because he was the mature man that she wanted.
Right.
And
And he kind of had a bit of a silly side, and he was sweet, and he got along with her friends.
Yeah, and her parents.
And her parents.
Sure, they approve of my boyfriend. Oh, you really like him, Dad.
It's still your best friend. Since your dad and I went jogging.
I know you really like my boyfriend because he's your best friend.
Yes.
Let's move on.
Anyways.
Chandler's got a girlfriend.
Oh.
Phoebe calls her his cyber chick.
Yeah.
So I don't really remember how this starts. Correct me if I'm wrong, Whitney, but Chandler's just chatting on the computer and
it's when we get a look at Rachel's bridesmaid's dress and they're all in the apartment. Talking after they have a good laugh at Rachel's dress, Chandler comes in and Phoebe notices that he's wearing the same thing from the day before or the night before. And so she's like, you know, do you have a hot date or something? Like, oh, somebody's wearing the clothes from the night before. And Monica was like, woohoo, stead. And he's like, yeah, I stayed up all night chatting with this girl online or on the internet. And she's like, woohoo, nerd or something like that.
Nerd.
Door. So yeah, he's got like this woman friend that he's been chatting with on the internet, and he doesn't even know who she is.
Right. I think the next time we see this.
Back in the 90s when we had the chat rooms. Yes.
You ever go into a chat room?
Oh, I've been to, yes, several.
I don't think I went into chat rooms back then. I mean, we had a computer, we had the dial-up internet, all that good primitive stuff. Yeah. But I mean, I knew of them, but I never like searched them out. I don't think I would have known what to look for, like talk to people. I don't know. Now I'm in like all kinds of groups.
There was like this thing that you would do whenever you'd like find, if you started chatting with somebody.
Yeah, but you even go into a room.
Oh yeah. Well, like it was kind
of. What platform was this on? It wasn't MySpace. It wasn't Facebook.
No. I don't even remember. I can't remember.
Yeah, that's what I was like. I didn't do that. I wouldn't even know where to go. I don't think.
But I mean, I did at the time because I did go, I mean, I chatted with people. It was like, there's this thing that whenever you'd start chatting with somebody and it was like age locate or age sex location. So maybe it's ASL. And then it was like, whenever you'd post or type that to somebody, then they would answer.
So they would know who you are and whoever can. Wow. See, you know more than I do. Yeah. At least now we have groups and stuff and you can go where people have a common interest at least.
Yeah. And I think that's kind of what, because you would go to different like pages. I don't know, like fan pages for different, like maybe singers or actors or whatever, like
off of websites, and they would
little rooms.
Okay, well that answers my question. I'm like, where were these?
I can't remember. I mean, like I said, it was like, this was dial-up internet, so yeah. It was a long time ago.
So that's probably cameras in something like that.
He found this girl online and somehow, like, I don't know exactly.
They didn't say, but we just see him at his apartment, mm-hmm. and Phoebe's there, and they're talking back and forth. So every time they send a message, you hear this bonk bonk, and it's funny because Phoebe describes it as a bing bong, and she's like, "What's HH mean?" And he's all, "It means," and he's all bashful when he says, he's like, "It means we're holding hands."
Yes, that was really cute.
Holding hands.
Like, I don't know if they're on like a site together, maybe, because it was like, because she's like, "What is all this?" And he said it was like Guggenheim Museum.
You remember? They were on a cyber date, yes.
So anyways, and he's like, because she likes art and I like funny words. So that, yeah, what is this? What does she mean? H, and he means we're holding hands. Mm. And I love how she said, like, she was like, well, are you just the cutest? And he was like, I'm afraid I might just be.
Yes. That was so cute.
I might just be. It was adorable.
I like seeing boys when they really, like, truly, sincerely like a girl.
Yeah.
It's so cute.
Oh, can we back up whenever real quick? Because at the apartment.
At the apartment, yes, that's what I was going to say.
He said that he really likes this girl. It's like, you know how I could be kind of quippy and whatever else? And they're all like, oh, no, not at all. So anyways, he said, well, she totally called me out on it and, you know, told me to cut it out. So I did.
Get real.
Yeah, get real. So I did. And they're all like, no, who was it? Right, Rachel. She goes, wow, what's that like? And he's sitting there and he's like this, no jokes, just me. And Phoebe's like, ooh, cut it out. Like, I don't like this or something. And this is when Richard was leaving and he was like, yeah, I don't like you like this. Or like, yeah. Or something like this. Like, I don't like you like this.
And he was just sitting there.
Yeah. Kind of with a little grin on his face.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, no, I don't like you like this.
Yep. They didn't like that. So he kind of likes it. She was like, oh, cut it out, be real. And now they're at the Guggenheim Museum and they're holding hands, HH, on the computer chat room.
Yes.
And, you know, Phoebe's like, she starts talking. I don't remember how, but she's asking questions like, how do you know this person? Or how do you know, blah, blah, blah. She's like, at some point she goes and says, she could have like, two heads or be 90 years old or be like a guy. And then she's like, oh, it could be a giant guy. She's like, it could just be a giant guy. And then
he's like, it's not a guy.
Yeah. And then
that's when Joey comes in and he tells about like Monica kneeing him in the back when he got close to Richard. Same as they're talking about, and he's like, what's going on? And she said, we're talking about if Chandler's cyber chick is a guy, is really a girl, or if it's a guy or whatever. And then Joey tells him, well, how long she's going to live, because, you know, girls live longer. Or he said, girls live longer, ask her how long she's going to live.
Yeah.
And they kind of look at him like,
that's ridiculous. Yeah.
Yeah. And Chandler goes, how do you not fall down more? Well, and then Phoebe tells him, like, she kind of gets that idea, because like, oh, well, yeah, ask her whatever, because it would prove if she's male or female. Her idea was, ask her what her current form of birth control is.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's like, okay, so he does that. And then got a bing bong, and she is married. She informs Chandler that, she says, I think my husband is sleeping with his assistant.
Yep.
Or secretary, or yep, something like that.
Yep, secretary.
And
bombed.
Yes, like wind out of his sails. Oh my goodness.
He's like, I can't believe she's married.
I know. And then they're all like, well, at least you know she's the girl.
Yeah. And that's when Joey tries to comfort him and he's all like putting his hand on Chandler's arm. He's like, it must be hard for you.
Yes. He's still trying to get that kiss.
That practice for that audition.
All right. Yeah. So
that's what happens. He finds out she's married. He's just like, oh my goodness, I can't believe this. And we already talked about when Ross and Rachel walked in earlier, and yeah, I just have here that he's super bummed about his cyber chick and she's all bing-bonging him. And he's like, bump, 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 bump. She's sending messages. He hasn't responded. And Phoebe's all like, are you going to answer her? That's like the fifth bing-bong she sent. And he's like, oh, he's still trying to get over this terrible news, which, by the way, is the answer to our trivia question. That's the terrible news he gets. And she's sending him messages saying that she wants to meet with him in person.
Yeah. Well, he said that he wanted to meet her too, but she's married. Well, then Phoebe actually tells him, well, what if this married guy is not the right guy for her and you are? Like, she basically convinces him, you know, let's do this, like meet Cyber Chick, meet her. And so he starts getting kind of pumped up again. He's like, okay, yeah, I'll do that. So Phoebe starts telling him, no, first you got to do this. And then so he starts running. I don't know. I can't remember the sequence.
She says all kind of crazy stuff.
And then she said, no, first, take a shower because, no, answer her first. No, make a pot of coffee because it's all too much.
Yeah. Yeah. She's barking orders that don't make any sense and the rationale is not even there. And he's just running back and forth. And
he's like, okay.
Yeah. I disagree with Phoebe's logic, but we're going to go with it because it's a TV show and we need some comedy here. And yeah. So, yeah, he's just running back and forth and he's like, okay, whatever. He ends up at Central Perk.
Uh-huh.
And the whole gang is there, I believe.
Uh-huh.
And then he's just
Everybody waiting to see who Cyber Chick is.
Yeah, so they all show up to see who's going to show up here. And people keep coming in the door and he's like nervous. He's like running almost, like bouncing around. Like he looks like he's bouncing off the walls.
Yes.
Oh, that's her. So this blonde girl walks in and she has this very nice body, very beautiful girl. And Taylor's all like,
oh, that's her. I know it's her.
Yeah. He goes, that's her. And then Ross, he goes, yeah, because life's just that kind.
I like that one.
And I just won $1 million.
Yeah, exactly.
Might as well say that one, Chandler.
Right?
Yeah.
Right.
It's not her. It's not the beautiful blonde woman. But then we get the behind the shoulder, behind the person view of a brunette that walks in. We see her long brown hair because we, the camera, are behind her. And we see Chandler's reaction. And he's just like, oh my God.
Yeah.
And then tell us what happens, Whitney. Do we see this mystery woman?
Yes, we see the mystery woman. Camera goes to the front, the Central Perk entrance. And we see Janice standing there, clutching her chest, like, oh my God.
And then Chandler runs up to her and just kisses her, plants this big kiss on her.
Very intense and passionate kiss.
And then the whole gang turns back around because they were looking over the couch because they had to turn over their shoulders to see. And then they all kind of just turn back down and sit down and they all together are,
oh
my
God.
It's Janice. Sound the foghorn. Blast the foghorn. It's
so
Janice
is our mystery Cyber Chick.
Yep. Dun, dun, dun. That's how the season ends.
And there's our cliffhanger.
Yep. That is what happens.
Tune in for season 3.
Yeah. Before we, I've got trivia questions for season 3. But before we, what would you say was the funniest thing out of this episode?
Gosh, Joey trying, like running out the door to go kiss Richard. I really like that.
I really like how Phoebe was cracking up at Rachel when she walked out in her Princess Polly dress.
So, and she's like,
you look so good. I mean, it was a good episode, but there weren't like all these standout, hilarious things in here. I also thought it was pretty funny when Ross told Chandler, yeah, because life's just that kind. I thought that was kind of funny. Oh, I guess the absolute funniest thing had to be when we realized that Rachel's about to walk down the aisle with her butt hanging out. That was very like, oh no. So that had to be, I'm going to say that one was the funniest. Do you quote anything from this episode? I know I don't.
No.
No, not in this one.
No.
So, all right. All righty, Rue. Here are your trivia questions for episode one of season three. And it is the one with the Princess Leia fantasy.
This is so good.
And I'm just going to say, Joey's hair looks awful in this episode. There's that portion in time where they, you know, a new season, they kind of change up somebody's hair. It's all combed forward. It looks like they used a comb to comb it forward and just sprayed it there so it would stay like that, kind of like man things. I don't like this look on Joey. I think he looks good right now. Shorter hair. Looks good. He's got more of a clean cut.
I was going to say, because I just saw the very, not even full clip of the next episode, but I did notice Monica's hair is longer.
And I noticed Joey's terrible bangs. Here we go. Question number one. Monica is left with all I have left of him. Of Richards. What is it? This is all I have left of him. What is she referring to? Question number two. Ross and Rachel talk fantasy. And Ross asks Rachel, did you see Return of the Jedi? And she's like, yeah. And he's all, do you remember the scene with Jabba the Hutt? What is Rachel's response? This is actually a trick question. And I'll tell you on our next pivot episode why it's a trick question.
Okay.
But you'd have to be an original, an OG fan, probably, to know the answer to this. So yeah, after Ross asks, do you remember the scene with Jabba the Hutt? Rachel says something. What does she say? And then question number three, Joey wants to pull his arm off and throw it at Janice every time she does what? Dun, dun, dun. That was my Janice impression.
So, oh, goodness.
There you go. Thank you so much for joining us. We love talking friends with you. We will see you next time here on Pivot, a Friends podcast. Be sure to like, subscribe, get alerted for the next episode release, which is every 2 weeks on Thursday mornings. And yeah, share this with your friends. It'll help us keep coming back to talk more friends. Pivot.
Good night.
Nighty night.